These are days in history when the much-abused public is sickened. In a sense of waste. Wasted lives, wasted efforts, wasted billions. It's something to be spent or to spend. It's an experience in futility to be wasted. You sink in a bottomless pit. You're never closer to despair. The great American evangelist of yesteryear, Dr. William Beter Wolf, attached this label to one of Judah's kings, Jehoram. This epitaph, found in 2 Chronicles 21:20, was written over Jehoram's wasted life. He departed without being desired. No one missed him. His life counted less than discarded orange, or a lemon rind, or a banana peeling. I can't think of a worse verdict than the words of this text. And there wasted his substance. It's the tagline scribbled on a drunkard, a narcotic, a gambler, a murderer. The wrinkled, paint-coated shell of a worn prostitute, wasted. It is a rejection slip on a miser, a hypocrite, a traitor, the vain, the hireling. It is the foolish choice, the wrong turn that leads down a dead-end street. It is the unrequited love, the selfish viewpoint, the fugitive from life, wasted. This text spells failure in capital letters. It's ignominy and shame for a person to live in the presence of countless opportunities to make himself or herself honored, respected, and loved, and then to prove himself or herself such failure that nobody misses you, you'll wrap yourself in hell. Jehoram, to whom I have alluded, was as cheap a politician as you will ever note recorded on the sleazy pages of corrupt administration. He was rapacious, bloodthirsty, irreligious. He grew in a rather large household, the firstborn of 8 brothers. After his inauguration, he celebrated by murdering the brothers and eliminating as many princes in Judah as he could lay his hands on. His swath reached into 8 miserable, tainted years of Judah's history. 8 years better forgotten, 8 wasted years. He instituted trends of profane thinking and permissive living that wrecked the economy and character of his country. And it sickened God, and God smote Jehoram with dread disease. It brought a worthless life to a screeching stop. The public refused him a sepulcher among the kings. They threw his diseased carcass in an open pit. He became a forgotten man. The Bible says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And that is the option the Creator gives to every human being. And a sure way to rot, mister, is to waste. I believe in fractions. I respect them, whether 1/2, or 5/8, or whatever. 1 day, or 1 hour, seems a big digit placed above the possible short span I may be permitted on earth. And I do not want to blow that day, that hour. I want them to count, to accomplish something of permanent value. This should be bred into a child, hopefully as early as the background of both would-be parents can transmit. Thank God for heredity of such work initiative. I know my parents passed it to me and then reinforced it by daily discipline. Mother was abhorred by waste. No crust was wasted. It was placed in a jar to dry and to be used to meet hunger when needed. No sock was wasted. It was darned and darned until there was more mending than the original. If I did not busy myself after school hours, my mother personally visited all local employment prospects and asked, "Do you need a boy? Fine, I'll have him there." Her philosophy prevented any free riders. It told me as early as I had understanding, if you're going to sit at this table regularly, contribute something. So like produces like. Indulgent parents will produce indulgent offspring. Getting back to Jehoram, it happened to him. He had a good daddy, but daddy had married the worst possible choice. Daddy, who really wanted to be a decent man, chose sex above stability, and he paid and he paid. She was a wild woman with a killer instinct. She never considered working for anything she could grab for the taking. A marriage is so important. Decisions for the next generation are made at that altar. What genes will you pass to your children? And they will never be yours alone. Birth forever will be the act of partnership. I've always been brought to attention by the words which precede my text. He divided unto them his living, and not many days after. The first happens in a realistic adaptation at conception and birth. You divide your living or your life. And then so soon, so very soon, you see your own pattern of living in terrible resurrection power. Jehoram's mother was a murderess, and not many days after, the son followed suit. A wasted life comes home to haunt you. Mr. Hog Hollow is around the corner. God is an investor, but he repudiates waste. And they did all eat and were filled. And then they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. That's God's idea of economy. What does the Father of Lights think about our prodigal ways with energy? Lights left to burn, highways choked with wheels carrying a single passenger, thermostats forgotten. The 12 baskets full, sir, would make the difference. And that's what made him a reprobate. And there wasted his substance. Others have ventured into a far country. They have pulled up stakes and explored. Einstein headed toward a far country when he ventured into a new mathematical formula. But everything since hasn't been waste. Dr. Fleming traveled to a far country, far, far from familiar medical formulas, to explore and then to find penicillin. But that trip can never be called waste. It isn't adventure, Mr. That's a Calamity. It's waste. Of all today's pathetic waste of resources, no waste can offend the heart of God like the waste in marriage, in home, in family. That makes all other forms of waste insignificant. The Cherokee Indians have a beautiful and expressive ceremony. The man and woman to be married join hands over running water to indicate that their lives are thenceforth to flow in one stream. Now, we're becoming a nation of secondhand goods. The markdown is shocking. We're throwing away the strength that marriage is designed to provide. There is an eternity of meaning in the words. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. He knew her in the tragedy that soon visited the home, one son killing another. Adam found her strength to rise to the occasion. He knew her when fortunes changed and he became a toiler. She was there to appreciate the sweat of his brow. Adam knew her as he built and ministered at the family altar. She gave him the courage and faith which only true religion can provide. In and out of marriage, mister, can lead to worthless living, and you will become another man who will never be missed. Above all, do not waste your chances to get right with God. They are too big, worth too much to flunk. The gentleman in this text might have become another casualty, filling an unmarked grave with the story ending. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, and he began to be in want, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. His story could have finished there. A lot of them have. But it didn't. Thank God it didn't. He didn't crawl off a knee to his destiny as Jehoram did. He departed without being desired. With God's help, he wrote a different ending. He came to himself. He said, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That expunges, that erases all the bad chapters which precede. That redeems the waste. Whatever you've wasted, regrettably wasted till this moment, don't waste your soul. How do you want to look back? Do you want to leave a trail of husks? You want to trade the snort of a pig pen for the tear of gratitude from a human being who pays you the supreme honor? He will be missed. Face your losses now. Face your prospects now. God's throne is not made of marble, but of mercy. He will forgive and will abundantly pardon. He will help you to make your life count from herein. If any little love of mine may make a life the brighter, if any little care of mine may make a heart the lighter, if any little lift may ease the burden of another, God, give me love and care and strength to help my toiling brother, William the Silent Prince of Orange, eschewed power, social and political, wealth, luxury and affluence in general were all his, but he made himself for his people disenfranchised and an outlaw. He feared God, but the blazing batteries of Philip and Alva could not intimidate him. And when at last he fell by the dagger of a hired assassin, he exclaimed, "I commit my poor people to God, and myself to God's great Captain Christ." And when he died, the little children cried in the streets of Holland. Now there's an eternal difference between giving your life and wasting your life. Jesus gave his life, and he's asking you to give yours, not to waste it. Make it count. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And there will be those who will miss you and love you forever if you do. You'll find rest in trust. This is what the long, long altar is all about, trust. You can trust Jesus. You can trust Calvary. You can trust the Bible. So come in these next 10 seconds to the long, long altar.
There's room at the cross for you.
This is the greatest privilege ever extended. There are no broker's fees, no cover charge, no small print hedging. The Creator extends us his Son, his Word, his victory. It's so good. I will praise him for eternity. The benefits of belonging to the family of God are like compound interest. They multiply every day. I find new pleasures and new treasures. I've enjoyed healing. I've enjoyed guidance. I've enjoyed supply and finance. I've enjoyed peace of mind. I've enjoyed employment that I can respect for time and eternity. That's my testimony. And I'm glad you've come. Our Father who art in heaven, we approach through the worthiness of Jesus, whom we confess to be the only begotten Son of God. And we come for decisions. Some kneel with us to be rid of guilt and trespass. They reach toward the authority of Calvary, where thy Son paid the bill in full. Some kneel with us for direction in business, in education, in marriage, in location. And thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Some kneel with us for miracles of health, the binding of wounds of loneliness, mistake, misrepresentation, absence, or uncertainty. We have one mediator between God and man. Jesus of Nazareth is that mediator. Help this nation. Erase so much that is lip service and replace it with genuine faith. And forgive us our trespasses as we now forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. I know you have enjoyed praying in the Revival Time Fellowship. We don't say prayers. We mean prayers. In this refreshing scene of victory, we open ourselves with spiritual senses alert to the mind of Jesus for these next few moments. He has come again with signs following. A compassionate high priest with hands and feet of authority is reaching toward an object of his special grace, a man who is tempted to become very discouraged because he has been without employment, although he has searched, will find the best job he's ever had within the next 7 days. The Master is concerned for you, and he'll prove it. You are not forgotten. Your petition has not been in vain. The trust that your family has exercised in you is not to go unrewarded. Jesus is personally helping you. So thank him. Use your new benefits to be a better witness. I'm his evangelist. Yes, yes, we've been to the meeting. Every second has strengthened me in the inner man, and I feel good in the outer man. There's nothing better than his presence. The Holy Spirit gathers us into the Revival Time Network. It's a foretaste of the meeting long scheduled, the meeting in the air. What we've enjoyed now, we will enjoy then. And we'll prove again that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.M.